Hello, this is Esperanza Phoenix, and welcome to Unpacking Life's Crazy, a podcast about a lifetime of unfortunate, unusual, and enlightening experiences, and how some of us use humor and hope to survive mental illness. In our podcast, we discuss controversial and adult topics. We are all adults here. There will be swearing. So, this is episode 15 of Unpacking Life's Crazy. If you're just listening to this podcast, you might notice that I sound a little bit nervous, or maybe there's a lot more ums or uhs or airspace. And that is because for the very first time, I am actually videotaping my podcast. I'm not unfamiliar with being in front of the camera. I do act and I do some stand-up and storytelling, and I'm fine with that. But usually for my podcast, I like to have more editing options in case I screw up, which I probably will, and there may be some weird cuts, I admit that. But there are a couple of reasons why I am videotaping for the first time today. And the first is that I've been trying to figure out how to make the podcast a little more visual because I have some things I want to share with you folks that you kind of need to see. So I was thinking about that possibility. And one of the podcasts I really love to listen to is by Crooked Media. And that's where I get a lot of my political news. And Crooked Media has a lot of their podcasts now available on YouTube as well. So I enjoy watching that. And so I was like, oh, yeah, well, I guess you can just record a podcast and people can watch. And that also gives me more viewership because I know that there are people who are hearing impaired. And while the podcast could be translated, it might be easier if they can read my lips. So some of the reasons why I'm not as excited about videotaping what I have to say is, one, I have to look at myself and then I get like kind of self-conscious and stuff. Also, as I've mentioned in previous podcasts, I suffer from anxiety. So deep breath. So today, you can either listen to my podcast, or if you want to, you can check it out on my YouTube channel, because the great news is, as of today, I have 100 subscribers. My YouTube channel can now have its own name. So it will be YouTube Esperanza Phoenix, because that's my name and it's easier to just keep everything together. So some of the things that I intend to also put up on my YouTube channel is more maker videos, which is the other thing that has been keeping me busy so that I haven't been doing so much of my podcast. I have a maker video up on my YouTube channel because I have been doing great business with my mushroom art. So as I mentioned before, the only real income source that I have right now is I sell my artwork on my Etsy shop, which is EsperanzaPaints.com. And one of my interviews, my psychedelic comedy podcast, was an interview with a guy by the name of Tom Baum. And Tom Baum is a very interesting character. He runs a psychedelic comedy show. And when I had my conversation with him, I put up a painting that I did before of an Amanita muscaria mushroom. And those are those beautiful mushrooms. They're red and they have the white spots on them. They're just gorgeous. Anyways, because it was about psychedelics and mushrooms and all of that, I had the opportunity to put up one of those backgrounds, like in a Zoom or Skype call, and I had that in the background. So he informed me of the tie-in between those mushrooms and Christmas, and red is my favorite color. So as if you couldn't tell by my hair or what I'm wearing. So he told me about the weird Christmas traditions that are tied in with that mushroom. And if you want to hear more about it, I'll talk about it in other episodes. But that made me think, oh my gosh, I really want to have a red and white mushroom ornament for my tree. However, when I went online to look for them, I wasn't pleased because I'd seen the pictures and they're a very interesting mushroom. Not only the coloring, but like the spots in real life have, they have a texture to them. They're a little bit bumpy. And I think they have to do with the spores of the mushroom. I haven't studied the physical properties of the mushroom, so I can't tell you for sure if that's how they work. So I did this search, and as I mentioned before, I'm an artist, and I mostly was selling my paintings on Esperanza Paints, hence the name Esperanza Paints, not Esperanza Sculpts. And frankly, I didn't do a lot of sculpting before, but I was like, okay, I can do this. I can do some research. I can figure out how to sculpt a realistic looking Amanita muscaria mushroom for my tree. So that's what I did. And I found out that with polymer clay, that was a way to do it. So I started experimenting with the polymer clay. I used different techniques and I came up with some mushrooms that were pretty cool. The first ones that I did, I gave away to friends and family. And then I thought, you know what? I have what I want for my tree, but these are coming out really cool. Everybody really loves them. So I'm going to put them on my Etsy shop. And I started doing that. And since then, I have made probably at least 80 mushroom ornaments. So I've been a very busy girl in the mushroom making, and there is a video of me making the mushrooms on my YouTube site. So if you, it's like way sped up. Like it takes me I'm getting faster. But it still takes me almost 2 hours to do a basic mushroom sculpture. And that is shaping it, sculpting it, adding the spots, and then painting and detailing it. So it's quite the involved process. And so they sold really well. And then as Christmas was coming to an end, I actually thought I would have more time once we got to the point where people would no longer be able to receive their order in time for the holiday. But it turned out that people kept ordering. So I sound it's like, okay, well, they're gonna get them after Christmas, but whatever. And then I thought, you know what? I'm enjoying sculpting this and people really like them, but clearly people aren't gonna have their tree up year round. So one of my friends said, well, I would really love to have one, but could you make one for like a plant? And I said, oh, okay, well, let me think about it. And I thought, well, yeah, that's totally doable. I can make one on a stake that you can put in a plant. So I started making them for plants too. And then you may see them in the background. I'm gonna cut to me showing you these mushrooms. For those of you who are actually watching on YouTube, you can see. If you're listening to the podcast and you want to see them, you can check into YouTube or you can check them out on my Etsy shop, Esperanza Paints. So, this is the one I was just telling you about. These are the ones that I am making for plants. I'm sorry about the glare. There's a little bit of glare there. So, these little mushroom ornaments, they have a stake. It can go in the plant. And as you can see, I tried to be as detailed as I could. They even have these little delicate like ruffles underneath the mushroom skirt. It's like I said, they're a very detailed and interesting mushroom. So these are the ones that I made for the plants. These are the ones that are for Christmas trees. So like they've got a little hook on top, you know, your standard. I am sorry about the glare. Let me see if I can't turn down my light a little bit here and see if you can see it a little bit better. So I'll get this camera stuff figured out soon. I promise I'll figure this out. So these were the ornaments that I came up with. That was all fun and good. And then I'm really not sure what made me think of this, but I thought, you know, I could do like mushroom people. I know it's a weird thought, but I had this idea of mushrooms as little people, little characters. And I don't know, I should mention that before I started on this whole mushroom tangent project, I didn't really sculpt. I painted and I didn't really realize how much I would enjoy sculpting. I should have figured this out because when I've had the opportunity to play in the snow, which isn't really very often because I live in the foothills of California most of my life, and while we do get snow that to that level once in a while, it doesn't happen very often, so you have to go up the mountain to the snow. But when I have had the opportunity to play in the snow, I'm not your just build a snowman kind of person. I'm a create a crazy snow sculpture kind of a person. So I've made like snow sphinxes before. I've like made super curvy snow women, very detailed. And I think the most, it was a while ago too, but one of the more recent snow sculptures I made, a giant snow castle, which I sculpted with my daughter. And I'll put that up on my website for this episode so you can see it, because it really was a lot of fun and it was really big. So when I've had the opportunity to sculpt with snow, I went all out. I had a great time. It was a lot of fun. So I should have realized, hey, sculpting is kind of cool and I like it. So these mushrooms made me realize how much I'm really enjoying this. And despite my disability, and sometimes I'm a bit shaky, I get really focused and I get into it, and I get rather obsessive, to be perfectly honest. I get obsessed with my art, and then I kind of have trouble walking away. And it hasn't been too good on my hips, because if you see in my video of me making these mushrooms, I am making them at a coffee table while seated on one of those cushions that you use for yoga meditation. I don't have like a fancy studio or a big desk or any of that stuff. I plop my butt down on this cushion on the living room floor and I go to it. And if I'm getting really detailed, sometimes, like I said, I get obsessive and I don't want to get up and stretch or walk away because I'm just like so into it. So I'm excited to introduce my mushroom sculptures of people. They're a wide variety and it's kind of all about the personality for me. So here is one of my little mushroom people. So as you can see, he's got a very detailed little nose. He's got wrinkles around his eyes. And this one has a cutie booty. I like putting butts on them because I'm weird that way and I think they're adorable. But not all of them have butts. This one I made a couple days ago. This one is a little singer. As you can see, she's singing with all her might, and you can see her cute little face there. She's like an opera singer. She's got some boobs on her, but like not detailed boobs. One of mine had really detailed boobs, but she just sold. So I'm sorry if you're looking for mushrooms with nipples. You're gonna have to wait until I make another one. And as you can see, this one is traveling. You can see the mud on the side of her as she scoots by. This is, of course, very visual for those of you who are listening to the podcast. I'm sorry, you'll just have to check them out on YouTube, I guess. All right, so that's a couple of them. And then this guy, well, he's clearly just kind of grumpy. And his name, I named them. This guy's name is Bobby. And the reason he is named Bobby is because after I made this really funny mushroom top on him, it reminded me of the hats that the British police officers wear, and they call them Bobbies. So that's why he has that name. And then there's this spunky little one. I really like her. I really do. I think she's sort of like a version of, I don't know, a younger mushroom me. She's sassy. She has attitude. And she's fun. I just adore her. And I am going to show you one that is not yet painted, because I said that I paint them. Now, the polymer clay luckily comes in different colors. So I'm able to sculpt them using part red and part white, and then it requires less painting, but I still paint them and I detail them. And this one is not yet painted, so I'm working on a stubborn, sassy little mushroom. She hasn't been painted yet. She has also not yet been sanded, so you might see some lumpy stuff on her a little bit. I try to sand them down a little bit, make them a little smoother, because the material is just kind of hard not to get thumbprints or like little fingernail marks sometimes, and I try to get off as many of those as possible, but they are handmade. So if you get one, you might find a thumbprint or two. I also initial them on the bottom, so you can tell they were actually made by me. So that is what I have been doing. But that has necessitated some other busyness, kind of learning stuff that I don't especially enjoy. Let me move this out of the way again. I feel like it's just so bright on my face right now. It's still bright on my face. I'm figuring it out. I promise. I figured this out. I'll get better at this as time goes by. The other things I've had to learn in order to do this is, one, how to navigate the whole Etsy thing. And they have a pretty good setup with their mail system. So your shipping is kind of an automated system where you can click in and just kind of do it. Sorry, my hair is bugging me and getting in my face. I'll get back to the hair in just a second. There's some stuff I got to tell you about that. But okay, so figuring out the Etsy stuff. And one of the things that I like to do is whenever I ship out one of my mushrooms, one of my orders, I have these business cards, and I put a little note or draw a little picture or both on the back of the business card, and then stick it in the box when I send it to people. So that's just a little thing I like to throw in. Sometimes I like to draw a little cartoony face on the outside of the box as well. I've been handing out all of these business cards in order to ship out all of these mushrooms. And I'm almost out of business cards, so it was time to reorder. And since I seem to have focused more on the mushrooms than the painting lately, I had to design a new business card. This brings me back to the crazy eclectic life that I have lived, because I have a degree in visual communications and digital art. So I'm actually rather experienced with Photoshop, Adobe Illustrator, the visual graphics programs. And I hadn't had to dust off those skills in a little while. I've been doing a lot of Photoshop stuff except for editing my mushroom photos in order to put them on my Etsy shop. So I had to dust off those skills and take out my Photoshop and design a brand new business card. And oh my gosh, Photoshop is so much better than it used to be. This content aware fill feature, for those of you who are into graphics, if you're into graphics and you're already using the program, you already know about this. But oh my gosh, it makes it so easy. You can delete something out of a photo and then use the content aware to like fill in the background area. And you can do that before, but it was a whole process, and there was a cloning stamp, and there was a thing, and it was complicated and time consuming. And now the program like does it for you super easy, and you really don't have to do much cleanup. I love it. I love it. Love it. So because of that, I had a lot of fun combining. I used elements of that painting I mentioned that I had up for Tom Baum. I kind of merged that into the background of my business card, and then I put my mushroom people in the foreground, and I did this whole thing, and it was fun, and I really enjoyed it. And then when I found out about this possibility of getting the YouTube channel with my name on it, I went, okay, I gotta go figure that out on YouTube. More figuring stuff out. It shouldn't be a big deal. It's not a big deal. But like I said, I have anxiety. So sometimes the just starting things and figuring them out is the part that freaks me out the most. It's like, oh God, I've got to figure out something new. Oh my God. What if I can't do it? Research. So I go to the YouTube thing to try to figure that out. And it says that you're supposed to have a banner on your thing, which I guess I didn't. I don't know why. I guess I just hadn't figured that part out yet. So I needed a banner. And I was like, okay, well, I just designed this business card. Maybe I can kind of tweak the business card idea and turn it into a banner. But then because I'm artistic and kind of OCD, that kind of got carried away. So I had actually planned on doing this video like 3 hours ago. I did my makeup. I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And then I was like, got all distracted. I spent a good hour and a half altering and changing and redesigning this banner thing. It turned out lovely, and I got to have more fun with the Photoshop tools. So yay, I'm learning stuff. Life is weird. But, you know, I am grateful that I have all these eclectic skills. I didn't have to call somebody else to design my business card or my banner or, and oh, that was the other thing that I had to deal with this week, which I'm really not finished yet. So by the time this airs, I will figure this out so that everything is smooth and clean and stuff. But I am migrating my website to a different host because my previous host was about to charge me twice, $375 for basic hosting and security for a year. And my website really isn't that special. It's like not an order site or anything fancy or whatever. It's just your basic WordPress site. So now that I've got a different host, I have to migrate everything. And I'm finding that a bit intimidating at the moment. I know those of you who do this stuff all the time are like, it's no biggie. And it probably isn't. It'll probably be fine once I figure it all out, but I haven't figured it out yet. Those mushrooms were one of the visual things that I wanted to share with you guys. The other visual thing, and you see me messing with my hair. Okay, my hair is a thing right now. It really is. Again, sorry for those of you who are listening because you can't see this, but in one of my other podcasts, I mentioned one of the things that I did over the pandemic was switch over from using regular shampoo to using bar shampoo. And I did that in part for environmental reasons because I didn't want to keep adding shampoo bottles to the landfill. So I tried a couple bar shampoos that didn't go very well because I had like weird buildup. And now that I think about it, I don't know how much of that is buildup or my scalp adjusting to it. I don't know. But the only way to get rid of the buildup was to use a lot of vinegar, and that was weird, and I didn't want to smell like a salad. So then I found a shampoo, a bar shampoo that I like, that had lemon juice included in it, which helped with the buildup, and I was like, okay, that's great. And then I started hearing about people who had basically stopped washing their hair. Yeah, like not using shampoo or conditioner. My daughter, she uses, well, my other daughter, my daughter here, I'm not sure what she uses. I haven't asked her. My other daughter has very curly hair. And if you have curly hair, shampoo is not your friend. It will build up, it'll pull down the curls, will cause frizz, it will give you problems. We discovered this great book. If you've got curly hair or you have a child with curly hair, look up a book called Curly Girls. And it talks about all these weird hair idiosyncrasies from curly hair. And I had to find it for my daughter because we thought she just had frizzy, messy hair for the longest time. But when you deal with it right, it's actually curly and it's quite lovely. She's got great curls now. So she gave up shampoo a while ago and only uses conditioner. But I decided, okay, I'm going to try this. I mean, what better time to experiment with no shampoo than in the midst of a pandemic where nobody's really going anywhere anyways? And as you can see, I color my hair. I do this myself. The cut isn't great right now, of course, because, well, frankly, I haven't had my hair professionally cut since before the pandemic. So, and it was a while before that. So probably I had my hair professionally cut last February, I think. That said, I do regularly trim my hair here and there when it bothers me. I will, I'll trim my bangs, and clearly I have friends. My dear friend Monica Gonzalez, if you're listening, thank you for your tips, because Monica, she actually did the whole, I don't want to say this incorrect, it's like beautician school, because she learned to do the hair and the nails and the facials and all of that stuff. And so she's the one who gives me advice on like how to mix my hair dye. And I do all that part myself. And she's also given me advice on how to trim it in a way that I don't like totally fuck up and wind up looking like a freaking Romulan from Star Trek. Because I hate that. I hate it when the bangs are too short. It really bothers me a lot. So I've learned to cut my hair so you don't have those Romulan Vulcan bang things going on. I hate those. So here in January, where everybody started making their New Year's resolutions and saying, hey, I'm giving up booze, I gave up suds. I gave up shampoo. So I have not used shampoo or conditioner on my hair all of January. And it's actually doing pretty well. I just rinse with water. When I take my shower, I rinse with water. And then when it gets a little bit oily, which it does, because like, I guess your scalp has to adjust because the shampoo washes all the oils out. And so then when you aren't washing the oils out, your scalp is producing the extra oils to make up for the shampooing. Like, I guess it always does in order to make up for the shampooing. I don't know. So it gets a little bit of oily buildup. So for that, I've been using cornstarch. And a friend told me about this years ago. You know how they have the dry shampoo? It basically, it's like, it's got, I don't know specifically cornstarch, but it's that, like, got something absorbent powder in there. That's what it is. Well, clearly cornstarch is a whole lot cheaper than dry shampoo. So, excuse me, it's a little cold in here. Oh, bothering my nose. So when it starts to get oily buildup, I take the cornstarch and massage it into my scalp. So if you see a little bit of white on my scalp, it's probably the cornstarch. But my hair is growing well. It's a lot thicker. I haven't colored my hair in weeks, and the color is still really nice and vibrant, which is the thing that really drove me crazy, is that the bar shampoo seemed to be washing out the color faster than usual. And frankly, dyeing my hair is a pain in the ass. I hate it. I really don't like having my hands up over my head. And then I get like paranoid that I'm going to get dye on everything and it's a mess. And why do I even bother? Because I still have to look at myself in the mirror. And frankly, I like it better this way. So this is what I'm doing. Another shout out to another friend of mine. I don't know if she's going to listen to this particular podcast, but my best friend from high school, Melissa Rogers, just celebrated her birthday on the 24th of January. And she and I have kept in touch all of these years. And what her birthday did for me was make me realize that as of next month, I'm going to be old. Okay, I'm already kind of old, but her sister on her Facebook page wished her the happy last year of her 40s. And my birthday is next month. And I was like, oh my God, that's true. So I'm going to keep dyeing my hair this crazy color because I enjoy it and it helps me remember to feel young. And yeah, don't expect me to be one of those gray-haired little ladies anytime soon because it's not really my style. So I wanted to share with you the weird hair thing and getting 100 subscribers and doing the YouTube thing and stuff is kind of the inspiration that, okay, I'm going to actually videotape this. And my daughter has a YouTube channel, and she talks about writing, mostly writing. Most of her things are about writing and plot structure and all that kind of thing. I'm very proud of her. So that's not the daughter that I interviewed for my podcast. The one I interviewed for my podcast, my daughter, Kara, she rents a room from us and she stays here. But my other daughter, Megan Tennant, she lives in Seattle with her husband, and you can find her YouTube channel if you're interested. Look up Megan Tennant. She has a lot of videos, and she does a really good job. I love it. So she's used to doing the on-camera thing on a regular basis. This is my first one of these, as I said. So, yeah. So as I mentioned, my YouTube channel has one maker video on it. Another thing that I am planning on doing is creating another maker video. I haven't done a maker video yet of these mushroom people. And as I said, it's really detailed and I'm finding it a little intimidating because I had to speed up the making of those little mushroom ornaments. I had to speed that up more than 20 times and cut out sections in order to reduce it down to about 3 minutes because that's the limit for some platforms. And I get so obsessed with these little mushroom guys. I'm not joking when I tell you that I spent 10 hours on one. It was a very special one. I was trying to make it look like a friend of mine. I don't spend 10 hours on every single one of them because usually I'm just trying to convey an attitude. So like I have grumpy ones, or I've got this one coming up who's kind of she's kind of stuck up and snobby. So I'm just, you know, maybe they're laughing. I had one named Mirth. She was the one with the boobs out. And she had her head back laughing. So if I'm trying to convey an attitude, I kind of do what I do when I'm drawing sometimes. If I'm trying to do a cartoon character, I kind of try to make the expression myself. And then that translates to sculpture. Sculpting mushrooms, very busy with that. Very busy now having to branch off into the whole marketing section of it. And, that has been a big distraction too, because in order to sell something, people need to be able to see it. So I've been, got myself a little box that I can put my mushrooms in and take their photos, because each of these little mushroom characters is very unique. So in the Etsy shop, they are a variation within my fairy garden mushroom section of my Etsy shop. So each time I make a new mushroom guy, I got to put up new photos. For the mushroom ornaments, it just, I warn people that they come in different sizes and shapes and actually different colors as well, because I was having a lot of trouble getting red polymer clay over the holidays. So I was able to only get whatever I could access, and they weren't all the same color. But that's okay, because mushrooms in the wild also have color variations. I'm going to be doing a maker video of these little sculptures. And so that's a little bit intimidating too. The videos that I've done in the past, I've used a program called iMovie. I really want to be able to use Adobe Premiere, but it's kind of complicated and I'm feeling really intimidated by it right now. So it may be that the next maker video I do is also iMovie. We'll just see. Okay. Other things that I've been doing during this pandemic is trying to learn Italian. So I mentioned in some of my other podcasts that I lived in Costa Rica with my children for about 7 years, And while we were there, it was the ultimate immersion course, so I did learn to speak Spanish. My Spanish is not excellent. I do not practice it enough, but si hablo español y yo si puedo hablar, ¿qué quiere? No hay problema. Pero no puedo hablar en los cosas de mecánicos o... Sorry. I don't know how to speak like to a mechanic or things that I don't already know the word for. And sometimes there's a lot of miming involved if I can't quite figure out how to say it or I say things in a roundabout way. I saw a quote recently, which I thought was really cute. Let me see. How did some foreigner was trying to remember the word cowboy and they couldn't. So they said, Old West horse pirates, I think. And I thought it was a perfect description, really. Okay, I kind of get where you're going with that. And when you don't speak the language, sometimes you grasp at words that if you put together, it kind of describes the thing. So I totally get it. So one of the things that I really want to do is learn to speak Italian because, and sadly, this may be the next big trip we take based on the pandemic and lack of travel and just the way the world is right now. But my boyfriend is making plans so that we can celebrate Carnival in Venice for my 50th birthday, because Carnival just happens to fall around the time of my birthday. I've always loved costumes and masks. I don't know if you can see in the background over here. There's a plague mask hanging up with my many hats. I love hats, and I love masks. Because of my time in theater, costumes are awesome. And that's how we hope to spend my 50th birthday. And last year, my boyfriend got me a subscription to the Rosetta Stone. So I'm using it to study Italian. He is now using Rosetta Stone to study French because we have been to France a couple times now, which was so awesome. Love it there. Can't wait to get back. I will be making travel videos when we're finally able to travel again, I promise. The travel video I made on our last trip, we actually did go to France as well. We went into Avignon and we had a really good time in France. But before we went to France, we went to Spain and the area of Catalonia. And I did a couple of travel videos about Catalonia, including why Catalonia is the shit at Christmas. And you have to see the video to really understand what this is about. But they have several Christmas holidays that involve shit. I kid you not. It's really weird and funny and super cute. I'm hoping, and when we did go to Spain, my Spanish was quite useful, although Costa Rican Spanish and Spain Spanish are different. Primarily, in Spain, they speak with a lisp. And I thought it was really weird. When I was living in Costa Rica, I met an elderly couple. They were actually British. And great old couple. Roz was a wonderful chef. She'd had quite a few restaurants, really a quite famous one, I guess, in Wales at one time, that she would do these elaborate stunts to advertise her restaurant, like one involved an elephant. She was just a spunky old lady. And then she was married to Rick, and Rick was an ex-paratrooper. So he was an old man, but he was a badass old man. So I met Roz and Rick when I was in Costa Rica, and they had gone from living in England and Wales to living in Spain for a while, which is where they learned to speak Spanish, and then to the U.S., and then to Costa Rica. So their Spanish was weird. Every time I would hear Roz speaking Spanish, she would always say, gracias, gracias. I thought, why does she say it that way? It's because the Spain Spanish, we pronounce our S's more. And then, like in Costa Rica, their R's are R. It's not like a real roll. Like, it's not like listening to a Mexican soccer match where there's like, it's just kind of little R's, like pero, not perro, if that makes sense. Anyways, knowing how to speak Spanish makes it easier to learn Italian. Some of the words are the same or just a little bit different. Some of them are very different. For example, in Costa Rica, the kitchen is the cucina. In Italian, it's cucina. And I believe, if I'm wrong, you can tell me. But the problem is, in Costa Rica, if you say cucina, it means nasty, like dirty, nasty. So you don't want to mispronounce that in Costa Rica. And so there are definitely some things where I'm gonna be like trying to figure it out. And hopefully when I get there, I won't forget everything and wind up using half Spanish and half Italian and confusing everybody. So we'll see how it goes. But I've been trying to consistently practice my Italian every day, at least once a day. And I've gotten to the point where now I can listen to the stories. There's like a story section. You can just play the story and listen. It's like, I know what that means mostly. So I guess it's working. Yay, I'm learning stuff. You can teach an old dog new tricks. So take up a hobby and start speaking a language. So one of the kind of cool, it's kind of sad, but also kind of cool things that came up this Christmas is one of my friends, and I actually named a mushroom after him, Franz. Franz is from Holland, and he's lived in the States for quite some time. And he's one of my older friends. I have quite a few older friends, friends that are, some of them are in their 70s. I also have a lot of younger friends. I like to be friends with people based on their personalities and the things that they like to do and their attitude. And for me, age is just a number, really doesn't matter. So Franz is a super cool person I know who happens to be in the elderly community. Sorry, Franz. Not exactly. You don't seem old to me. He had posted some photos of his Christmas decorations over the holidays, and he had these adorable gnomes, and it reminded me of this book that I used to read as a kid. There was this book about gnomes that I used to check out at the library, and I just loved it because it's written like an anthropological study of gnomes, like the gnome habits and like what kind of tea they drink if they have tummy troubles. It's got maps of where in the world the gnomes live and how they associate with the animals in the forest and what kind of clothes. I mean, it's just like so detailed. And as I've talked about in other podcasts, I don't have a great relationship with my parents. One of them was abusive. My father is a narcissistic pedophile. And that was the cause of a whole lot of my psychological issues. And my mother wasn't particularly attentive to my needs or figuring out what was going on. And ironically, she was a school teacher and she was very focused on her class and the well-being of her students, which was great. But I kind of fell through the cracks. So, as a school teacher who is all for reading and stuff, I'm really not sure why she never bought me this book. I mean, I know it was an expensive book. But I checked this book out from the library like I swear the library card must have had my name at least a dozen times because I would check it out and keep it as long as I could. You know, you get it for a week or two, and you have to take it back, and then somebody else would want it, and I have to wait till it became available again. And I didn't actually read the book because I was a little kid. And that was one of the cool things that I did every week as a child is my best friend. Her name was Juliet Barton. I have lost touch with her. So if you know Juliet Barton from Sonora, California, please have her reach out to me because I would love to get in touch with her again. She was my best friend, and each Saturday we would be dropped off at the library for story time. And our storyteller was a wonderful lady by the name of Beezy Smith. Now, Beezy went on to become a professional storyteller. She's actually won an Oracle Award. She's amazing. But she would do like little felt board things to go with the stories. And one of the favorite stories that she used to read to us was the Tompton and the Fox. And the Tompton is very much like a gnome as well. So I was like obsessed with these little gnome guys. And I hadn't thought of this book or the gnomes in years and years and years. But my friend Franz posted these Christmas decorations. And that kind of goes back to the mushrooms. Because apparently gnomes are tied to the mushrooms in countries like Holland and Germany and all of that. And gnomes are these little mostly nocturnal characters that usually do good deeds, like the Tompton guards the chicken house, the gnomes guard the chicken house, or of course, you know, the story of the shoemaker's elves that come and fix the shoes at night. So there are these lovely friendly little creatures. And what I hadn't realized, and this is the part where the trauma brain comes in, I hadn't realized that as a child, the gnomes became an escape for me. I bought into it. I really believed that these adorable little creatures were hiding in the forest, keeping an eye on me when I was out there. Because I grew up on a ranch. I grew up on 50 acres. We had sheep, and there were trails everywhere. We had donkeys. I was in my mom's household an only child. So when I was with my mom and stepdad, it was just me, unless I was visiting with my next door neighbor, Juliet Barton, who I mentioned. They had the ranch next to us. And so I spent a lot of time on the ranch wandering around in the woods by myself with the dogs. I go fishing, I tend to the lambs, that kind of thing. And at the time when I was really little and I was dealing with a lot of stuff, I imagined that these little gnomes were actually out there and they were kind of looking after me. Or there was this weird mossy rock. It was actually on Juliet's property, near the edge of the property. And it had all these nooks and crannies and things. And I would spend hours like setting up a gnome tea party with like little acorn cups and stuff. I know it probably seems crazy to the rest of the world. But it was a weird coping mechanism that apparently I created out of my imagination in order to get by some, you know, really awful stuff. And I think it helped me to hold on to my humanity, because despite some of the awful stuff that was done to me by my own father and the bullying that I endured in school constantly, like I had an ulcer in fourth grade because I was terrified to go to school, I dealt with a lot of really awful stuff that you'd think would make me maybe bitter, maybe hateful, maybe assume that all people were out to get me. And I don't have that attitude. I try to give all people the benefit of the doubt. And I try to see the good in people. There are certain traits that I absolutely will not tolerate. And racism is one of them. But I realize now that I think that book and my imagination were part of the coping skills that I used to get through that trying time in my life. So, because my mother never did buy me the book, and over the years, I had forgotten all about this. I had forgotten all about my weird little gnome fantasies and this way I used to pass my time when I was little. So this reminded me, and after Christmas, with some of my mushroom money, I bought myself the book. So this book is called Gnomes, and it is so cute and so adorable. And I'm sorry for those of you who are listening and can't see, but it shows like these lovely drawings that show how the gnomes live, like I said. Okay, here we've got gnomes weaving and tanning hide for their shoes. And it talks about the rituals of their marriage and how the kids play and their interactions with the animals out in the forest. And when I talked to my friend Franz about it, this author, the guy who illustrated and wrote this book, or the pair of them, were actually from Holland, and this is a translation from a book there. And I am so glad I did this for myself. And I know it's weird, one of the things that I have been doing to decompress from all the news and all the craziness that is going on in the world right now is I have been spending some time right before I go to sleep looking at my gnome book and sometimes reading it out loud to my boyfriend because it's so funny. And when I say funny, it's just... it's so specific, as if it is an anthropological study. Gnome houses differ in style and location, depending on the area where they are built. The woodland and garden gnomes live under large old trees. The dune gnome makes use of renovated rabbit holes, or else houses himself under pine tree roots. That's specific! I just absolutely adore it, and I had to share it with you all. So, in case you didn't know I was weird before, now you know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And as my boyfriend pointed out, and another friend too, these little people that I'm now making, they kind of look a little like gnomes. So maybe that's where the little people and the mushroom idea merged. So Christmas mushrooms and gnomes, and that was my weirdo December, January. I just started making the mushroom people here in January. So I want to finish out this weird wandering podcast of an episode. I know it's strange, but I thought I'd let you know what's going on with me. We are finally done with Trump in the White House. I'm so happy. Now, I didn't vote for Biden. No, and I definitely didn't vote for Trump. I was a Bernie supporter, but I'm thrilled that Trump is out of the White House. I'm thrilled. And I'm glad that we have a person with some empathy there. And it's been a scary couple weeks. I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to political stuff going on. I don't like sports. I mean, I don't mind playing sports depending on the sport, but I'm not one of those people who likes to watch sports. But I do take an active interest in politics because it affects me and it affects the people around me. And I like seeing that process. As I mentioned, we like to listen to the podcasts from Crooked Media. And so when they were certifying the electoral votes for Biden, my boyfriend, who's working from home for the pandemic, he was in the dining area doing his work stuff. And we were watching C-SPAN 2 live, waiting for this whole process to play out. And so we were watching live when they started pulling people out because of the riots. And it was scary. It's really scary. Sorry. If you listen to my podcast, you know I get emotional. But the more that comes out, the more we realize that they could have murdered our representatives. They could have murdered them. They could have blown up our Capitol. We could have lost our democracy on the 6th of January. We didn't. But that's luck. It's really, you know, the more we hear about it, the more it comes down to luck. And I have to say, the thing about it, you know, since we didn't lose our democracy, clearly, the thing about it that I find the most upsetting and the most tragic is that the insurrectionists, the domestic terrorists that invaded our Capitol building, when reinforcements in law enforcement finally arrived, those terrorists were allowed to leave the building and get on planes and go home. There were people who marched peacefully for Black lives, who were locked up and put in jail, put in those zip tie handcuffs when they were marching on the street exercising their right to free speech. But when it came to actual terrorists in our Capitol, they were allowed to walk away without being tear gassed, without being zip cuffed, without being hit with rubber bullets. They were allowed to walk away. And now that the FBI is tracking them down and they're getting court hearings, some of them are being released on bail, just like that, released on bail. They're not a danger. Some of them that have been arrested, and when arrested, they have found multiple firearms in their household, stockpiles of ammunition, evidence on their social media of threats to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and other members of Congress, and they are being released on bail and not deemed a danger to their community. At the same time, we had Black people put in jail without bail for peacefully protesting, because maybe things got out of hand at that protest and some windows got broken. How many windows got broken at the Capitol? They shit in the hallways of our Capitol. They vandalized statues and paintings. They stole a laptop from Pelosi's office. And yet some of these people are getting bail. I find that very upsetting. And I'm glad. I am so, so glad that they immediately impeached Trump for a second time. Now, it remains to be seen whether the Senate will actually follow through and convict him. I hope that they do. If they've got any sense, they will realize that it's good for them too, because Trump's making noises about running again, about forming another party, about other bullshit. If they convict him and they make it so that he can never hold public office again, it will do us all a lot of good. And mostly, you can't let somebody get away with that. You can't allow a leader to inspire an insurrection against our democracy and let him walk away unpunished. So I hope this turns out the right way, but he's not there now. There is now a competent adult in the White House, and it's good to see that Dr. Fauci is able to speak freely again. It's good to see that our pandemic response has been put back into the hands of scientists and doctors, and hopefully everybody will be able to get their vaccines. We'll be traveling again. Oh, please let us be traveling again soon. And the press briefings are back. We've got actual press briefings, daily press briefings, which are sometimes incredibly boring, and I'm loving it. I'm loving how boring government may become again. I'm really excited about it. It's been a wild ride. I am thrilled that we're moving into a new time. Unfortunately, the pandemic is still raging, and it looks like it's going to be as bad as the Spanish flu, it was the 1819 pandemic. And unfortunately, most of that is because of mismanagement here. Because during that pandemic, the worldwide deaths were higher. Now the rest of the world seems to have it under control, and we're the ones who are behind. And that's a real shame. It's a real shame. And one of the things that I want to point out too is that one of the main reasons that it is so bad here is our for-profit healthcare, that's in air quotes, healthcare system. It's not designed to have good health outcomes. It's designed to make a profit. So that's a huge part of it. And another part of it is other countries, like every other civilized country, has paid their citizens a survivable wage so that they could stay home and stay safe and not spread the virus. So yeah, we need the new administration, we need President Biden's administration to do a lot of fixing of problems that existed before the pandemic and have been worsened by the pandemic and become more obvious because of the pandemic. And I'm glad to see that Bernie has a committee position that puts him in a spot where he can help to negotiate some of these things. And I think many of the plans that he had could have helped mitigate the extremity of this pandemic disaster. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that things are going to change. It's already a huge relief. It's a relief to my child, my transgender daughter, to see that, not that she would ever want to be in the military, but our military should not be discriminating against transgender people either. And the assistant health director, I believe, is a transgender woman as well. So that's some exciting stuff. And I know it's a huge step in the right direction for human rights. They got to get those kids back to their parents from the concentration camps on our border. And they need to release these immigrants who, you know, have been imprisoned for trying to find a better life. So a lot of damage has been done by the last 4 years of Donald Trump being in office. And it's going to take a long time to repair that damage and to repair relationships with other countries as well. But I am hopeful. I am so hopeful. And change wouldn't be possible if Trump were still in office. So I'm grateful for that. Thank you so much for tuning in, whether you tuned in on YouTube or you tuned in for the podcast. Thank you for tuning in to Unpacking Life's Crazy. I hope that you and your family are well, that you're avoiding the pandemic, that you're not, you're taking care of yourselves, you're using precautions, and just we'll get through this. It's going to take some patience. But keep in mind, last time we had a pandemic, it took 2 years. And that was without the vaccines that we've got coming now. So that's a huge relief. And take some time to decompress from the news, from the stress of life, from your jobs, if you're an essential worker. Oh my gosh, thank you. Thank you so much. But take the time to be with your family, to decompress, to do whatever it takes to clear your head of the ugliness in the world and to restore your faith in humanity, whatever that is, even if it's reading a book about gnomes. Thank you. Have an awesome day. That's going to do it for today's episode of Unpacking Life's Crazy. If you'd like to learn more about this episode, our guests, or anything else related to Unpacking Life's Crazy, check out the podcast page of my website, esperanzaphoenix.com. To support what I do here, please consider purchasing some of my artwork, either at my Etsy store, esperanzapaints.com, or at espphoenix.redbubble.com. Last but not least, I want to offer a special thanks to Chelsea Wild, the talented musician who composed the theme for this podcast. To find more of Chelsea's wonderful music, visit minorbirds.info. Remember to subscribe if you want to be notified the next time we release an episode. And until then, take care of yourself and those that you love.